FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Today is December 19th, 2018. Well, much to talk about here. Market is up. That is the Dow Jones. Usually when we refer to the market in the media, unless we say otherwise, we're talking about the Dow Jones average up around 245 points at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, has it peaked? Is it going higher? All good questions. But first, as always, we invite you to join the show. Email us, kl@carrielutz.com. Well, person you're about to hear from writes an investment newsletter called The Hard Truth Magazine, and you bill it as the crossroads of investing, politics, and the economy. I'm not quite sure where those roads exactly cross, but John Truman Wolf is with us now, and welcome to the show.
Carrie, thank you so much. Pleasure to be with you.
So, market, has it peaked, or is Trump going to pull another rabbit out of the hat?
I don't know. He pulls a lot of rabbits, but I've been following it for some time, and in my view, it's top. It's been a roller coaster up there, extremely volatile. Last week down 500, then down another 200, and then this week up 200, and now today up another 240 or something. But I think that's a distribution, Carrie. That kind of volatility is very indicative of a top. This market has roared since March, April 2009, so we've got 9 plus years. I think it's top. Doesn't mean it's going to go straight down, never does. Markets never go straight up or straight down, but I think it's topped.
Well, being that it's gone up so much over the past 10 years, quadrupling and then some, one could say that if we have a bad recession or things really start to unravel, we could see major, major declines, maybe 60, 70%. Is that possible?
I think so. I think it's very possible. The Trump economy has done marvelously, frankly, the partisan issues aside, it's done well. That said, I think the banking industry is in trouble. They are full, pregnant with these derivatives, these interest rate derivatives, in the hundreds of trillions, Carrie. And it makes the banks, the big banks, the New York City banks, very susceptible to, somebody sticking a pin in that derivatives balloon. There are $1.2 quadrillion dollars worth of derivatives on the planet, mostly in banks, insurance companies, and so forth. About 75% of that are what are called interest rate swaps, which are nothing other than bets on the direction of interest rates. It makes the banks very, very volatile. I think that's one major factor that could that could turn things south.
Interesting. So the banks are theoretically in better position, but I just read that Citibank lost $180 million on a loan to a foreign Asian hedge fund. They've got all these loans out to these hedge funds, and the hedge funds, by their nature, are levered vehicles. Is that going to come into play here as well?
Well, that's an example of some of these major city banks. The risk factor. I think Trump is screaming at the Fed not to raise rates. They seem determined to do so. You know, they've been inching up after, I don't know how many years, 8 years of essentially zero, you know, interest rates, and they're going up. The real estate market has slowed, not surprisingly, because of the cost of mortgages. And banks making these multi-$100 million loans to hedge funds is certainly a factor. My primary concern with the, you know, the banking industry are these derivatives. I feel strongly, and I wrote a book on the subject, that this will be the undoing of the banking industry in this country. I recommend people place their money in smaller, you know, independent regional banks, because it's the big New York money center banks that are full of these derivatives, $227 trillion. I mean, it's an eye-watering number.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But look, the smaller banks often have correspondent relationships with the big banks, meaning that they use the big banks to handle all their Fed transactions, open market accounts and such. So is any bank realistically going to escape this?
Well, it's a really good point, because they do have obviously the corresponding relationships, but I think you've got a better shot with the smaller bank. Obviously it depends on, you know, how deep the relationship is with the correspondent bank, and if they've got significant amounts of their reserves on deposits with the, you know, with the bigger banks. You know, typically those correspondent relationships, you know, facilitate things like wires and that kind of thing. So if that bubble breaks, frankly, I think you're going to see, I think we're going to see a very, very rough time here, whether big banks or small banks. I mean, I think it's going to be uncomfortable as hell, frankly.
Yeah, well, and, you know, it's possible that no bank will escape unscathed. Or is the Fed going to intercede and do what they did in 08 and 09, just start writing checks and till everybody has money?
Well, that's certainly a possibility. My opinion is that if we have a major crash in the derivatives market, and this is just an opinion, obviously, but I think there'll be a bank holiday similar to in the 1930s, and the banks will close down for a period of time, you know, something on the order of maybe a couple of weeks or a few weeks or something like that. You know as well or better than I do, this country lives on credit. You know, if you yes. can't access your ATM or your MasterCard or your Visa, you know, it's the way people live today. So I think that's more likely, you know, than the Fed writing checks. Although the Fed may write checks, I think the real problem will be the constricted credit.
Yeah, well, you know, supposedly, John, after the recession of, when was it, 08, 09, the trucks, the food trucks that carry the food to the supermarkets were 3 days away from not going anymore because none of the trucking lines could get letters of credit. And without letters of credit, they can't ship because everybody has to get paid along the way. And there was banks guaranteeing those letters, right? So we
yes.
can see something like that, because if the government doesn't backstop them again, we'll just have pandemonium. We'll have pure chaos in the streets.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I wasn't aware of the specifics of the food trucks, but that's a great and classic example of what happens if credit dries up suddenly, which is what, you know, happened in 08 and 09. Mm-hmm. I don't like being the bearer of bad news. On the other hand, I don't want to be an ostrich and stick my head in the sand. And these guys make gazillions of dollars trading these derivatives, while places like JP Morgan Chase and some of the big European banks, you know, get accused of and pay fines for manipulating interest rates. The huge LIBOR scandal right. a few years ago, and then there was something recently in the financial press. So, I just think we're sitting on a powder keg here.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way at times. And we managed to get through the past 10 years, though, fairly unscathed. Europe's going to have issues as well, probably some very serious issues, and questionable whether the EU will stay together, or certainly the countries taking the or recognizing the euro as their currency unit. You got any thoughts about that?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rudruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian-Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimen Sakkari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. To stay on top of Aton's latest drill results and news, go to AtonResources.com. Aton trades on the TSX-V under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, Mario Draghi, the chairman of the European Central Bank, has been doing exactly what Bernanke did going back a few years. He's been writing, like you mentioned, he's been writing checks like there's no tomorrow, trying to handle the banking problems in what are generally referred to as the pigs. Portugal, Ireland, Greece and Spain.
Correct.
So, they've got their banking crisis looming as well. Whether or not I'm not a fan of his, he's implemented this policy called bail-ins. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
Oh, sure.
But bail-ins are a process whereby a bank that's in trouble has the right to take depositors' money and convert it to bank stock. This is a clever, quote, plan, unquote, pushed by the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, which is really the godfather of the global financial mafia. I call the global financial mafia. All 55 central banks on the planet belong to the BIS. Most people have never heard of that bank. And they have implemented, Mario Draghi in Europe has implemented this bail-in policy, whereby if a bank's in trouble, it takes depositors' money and converts that money to bank stock. Bail-in policy was implemented in Canada about a year and a half ago, and there's actually a memo. This isn't conspiracy theory stuff. There's a memo written by the FDIC and the Bank of England. People can see it online, which documents how bail-in policy would work here. So one begins to wonder, why did the Bank for International Settlements implement this policy that if a bank's in trouble, they can take depositors' money? It's troubling to me.
It certainly is that. And we saw it happen in Cyprus, a couple other smaller banks in other places. We're no longer in uncharted territory, are we, John?
No, we're not. And you're exactly right. And Cyprus was kind of the pilot project for this policy of bail-ins. They kind of, in my opinion, they kind of tested it there. Mario Draghi Jr. Came out to the press and he said, this is how it's going to go forward. and Draghi chastised him in the media, but in fact, that is what has happened. Most people don't know that when they put their money in the bank, it no longer belongs to them.
Mm-hmm.
By that, I mean it legally belongs to the bank. The depositor is an unsecured creditor, like they laid the carpet in the lobby. But in fact, that money belongs to the bank. So it wouldn't take much to tip things, in an adverse direction. And I think people need to be aware of that. The last couple issues of my newsletter kind of get into that subject.
Yeah, it used to be when you put your money in the bank, they were effectively the trustee. It was a fiduciary relationship. Somehow the law got turned on its head, spun on its head. And now you are actually, like you said, John, an unsecured creditor of the bank. They can do what they want. If you want your money back, it's not your money until they give it back to you. And it's a crazy world we're inhabiting here.
Well, you're exactly right. And most people aren't aware of that. You know, it's my money. I work for it. And they had that viewpoint, which was extant previously, that the bank was the trustee of their funds. No more. No more. So, and if things get tight in the banking world, the banks can just, shut down the ability for folks to withdraw their money. I don't want to scare people, but at the same time, people need to know, how to operate in such an environment should it come.
Very, very true. Well, John, it's been great having you on. You've got a book called Crisis by Design, The Untold Story of the Global Financial Coup. And I assume that goes back to 08-09 and everything that took place there. So we can get that at Amazon and wherever fine books used to be sold.
Well, thank you. And I would like to mention the financial newsletter is at sure. thehardtruthmag.com because I talk about this stuff every month, thehardtruthmag.com.
And we will have a link to it. There is a link to it in the show notes. If you're looking at them now on financialsurvivalnetwork.com, feel free to send an email to John or myself. We answer all, kl@carrylutz.com. If you are watching or listening to this show on YouTube, then please subscribe, like, and share. I know there's thousands of you out there listening. Hey, otherwise, if you're listening to it through conventional means, share it. Share the link with a friend if you think the show is good, which I hope you do. Hey, and you can check us out on Twitter. I don't know how much longer we're going to be on that. I'm hoping that the free market alternative is going to be out shortly. I know there are people working on it right now. As soon as it is, we will drop Twitter like a ticking time bomb that it is. And Financial Survival Network is the Facebook page. John, it's been great having you on. Really thrilled that you graced us with your presence. We'll definitely have you on again. And a happy and a healthy new year to you and yours.
Thank you so much. A pleasure being with you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.